Thank you very much. I'm Vernon Joins, and our subject today is One is Saved by Faith at Baptism. Many people do not know at exactly what point they're saved, but the Bible points this out very clearly. According to Paul's statement to the Ephesians, there's only one baptism, and there is one body and one spirit, even as you're called and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of God. Ephesians 4, 4 through 7. This one baptism is water baptism because there are five baptisms that are mentioned in the New Testament, and this is the only one that is left at this time. And it's based on the following facts. The Holy Spirit was never commanded. Water baptism was. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? Acts 10, verse 47. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they tarry with them certain days. Acts 10 and verse 48. This was at the conversion of Cornelius and his family. The baptism of the Great Commission is that which can be administered by man. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In Matthew 28:19, Holy Spirit baptism could be administered only by Christ. Don't forget that. And he said, I indeed, that is John, said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Matthew 3 and verse 11. Therefore, the one baptism authorized for those lost in sin was the baptism in water. And the baptism of fire will be administered also by the Lord, and that is after the judgment, for those who are wicked and unrighteous. Now, some in the church at Rome accepted the philosophy that since one is saved by God's grace, the more one sins, and the more he indulges in this, the more that grace would abound. So why not keep on sinning so that the grace might abound even more? And Paul's response was, God forbid, and may it never be so, as he said. He shows that in physical death, a person no longer lives the life which he formerly lived. And in other words, the sinner dies to the life of sin. And Paul affirms this not only in the lives of others, but in his own as well. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Since these brethren had died to the desire to sin, it was natural that they should be buried. So no one act would so fittingly represent the complete ending of the life of sin. Bible baptism is by immersion. And Thayer, the great lexicographer of Greek, he says that baptism is simply immersion or submersion. And if this word had been translated, the word baptism would not have even appeared in the New Testament, but it was anglicized, just changed the spelling of it, and did not translate it. And Mosheim, the historian, asserts, in this country, the first baptism was administered in convenient places without the public assemblies and by immersing the candidate wholly in water. That's the reason why I suppose that Paul said, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Romans 6 and verse 5. Now the evidence then that is presented, and the historical evidence as well, could be added the evidence from the circumstances. In other words, John baptized people in the river in Mark 1:9, and chose a place near Enon, and the reason was, he said, because there's much water there. And John 3:23. Philip and the nobleman both went into the water, and both came from the water, in Acts 8:36-39. If we know nothing of the Greek language, if we know nothing of the historians, we know nothing of the commentators nor the critics, Paul's statement that we are buried in baptism should suffice. Next, Paul states that we are raised from the dead by the power of God to walk in newness of life. It is of note that this new life begins after baptism and not before. It was this new life that brought thanksgiving to Paul's heart. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine or teaching which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. In Romans 6:17-18. These verses clearly show when one is saved. When he or she, in sincerity, obeyed that form of doctrine. The doctrine was the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:1-3. Now, we realize also that the form tupo signifies a mold into which melted metals were poured to receive the form of the mold. And the gospel doctrine is a mold into which the Romans were put by their baptism in order to make their fashions anew. It is then that one is made free from sin and begins his or her new Christian life, a new creature in Christ Jesus, in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Thank you for listening to the broadcast today.